At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I was born in a petri dish.
I'm just trying to make conversation.
I can't wait till you can just Skype slap somebody.
Can you say it for me, though? Who do you call? Is Jimmy the Greek still around? Like, what do you do?
Welcome back to Pod is War. I'd like to thank the band, War. I do think we could be friends. Indeed. Let me bring in some of my friends. Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz, and look at this. One Belaz wasn't enough. I must be a sadist. This is the one that likes to endure punishment, correct? That must be me.
No, masochist is the one that likes to get it, right?
Either way, AJ Belaz is here. Hello, AJ Belaz.
Hey, what's up? It's just like I said in DWI last week. Tunney now has a pair of balls every time on Pot is War.
There we go. And Ray's got a pair of white balls for the first time in his life.
Oh, no, brother. I live in Texas.
Eh, shit. Amen.
Follow the show. By the way, go ahead, Ray.
I didn't get a chance to fully greet you, gentlemen. Little inside baseball here. If you know, Ray was asleep when the call started. Hi, my brothers. Good to see you. AJ, really good to see you, my boy. I haven't seen you in a minute.
If anybody else is 20 minutes late, we really start to panic. But if it's Ray, we give it about an hour. He's probably sleeping. But he's re-energized, ready to go. Follow this show at Pod is War. Follow Ray at It's Ray Cash. Follow Andrew at IWC War Chief. Follow AJ. Damn it. You need to put AJ Belaz there. Okay. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Say Adam.
No, I don't want to.
Just put different shit like I do every time.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to fucking do that now.
Change your name to the shortened version like Copeland. Like Cope. Just make it
Oh,
Bow.
Gosh.
Oh, Bow.
Damn Bow. What the fuck? Damn Bow sounds like a Thailand fucking fighter, like an underground. No, Damn Bow. He knows Muay Thai.
It's like a hell of a dish. I'm hungry now.
Oh, shit. That's a good one, too.
It does.
Y'all, you want some of this Damn Bow? What? What's in that?
Dim sum and Damn Bow.
I do love me some Chinese food, though, man. I mean, I know... like 90% of the restaurants around here, it's like Americanized Chinese food. There's a couple that you can go and get some really good authentic stuff, but man, I don't know. Orange chicken and rice, pork fried rice, what else? Crab rangoons, General So. Oh, just love all that shit.
I was about to say, like, half of what you named isn't even Chinese, but I'll give it to you because you said most of it's Americanized Chinese.
Right, right. Yeah,
you give them
you ain't gonna go to like Shanghai and ask for orange chicken.
No,
they're not gonna understand.
But I love a good pork. I love a good pork.
Oh, Milwaukee! Here's cheese.
Oh, Milwaukee-san.
That's not a diss, by the way, because most of the cities in our areas don't have great authentic. Like, you're not in New York or San Francisco.
I don't mind people talking bad about Milwaukee because we already have enough people coming here up from Illinois that we don't need any more from any other part of the country discovering just how great we have it up here. Like, we're horrible. We suck. We don't have any food. We don't have any beaches. We don't have any golf courses. There's nothing to do here. There's no biggest world's music festival. There's no National Historic Museum. Nothing. None of that's here. Keep moving.
It's fine. If you, you hate them enough, you can just shove them in Kenosha or Oshkosh. It's fine.
Well, Oshkosh is trash.
That's why you shove them in Oshkosh if they suck.
What's wrong with Oshkosh? Oh,
that's
my
where
goodness.
All the Illinois people go. They go to Oshkosh.
No, they
you
don't.
Oh, you're
they
from
don't.
Illinois? You like the Bears? Go to Kenosha or Oshkosh. There you go.
Listen, they spend a lot of money up here. So, I mean, our sales tax is lower, too. So, I mean, if you live on that border, you come up and spend the money up here and stuff like that. But
you know what I love
Delaware's
about Milwaukee?
Delaware's got no sales tax, though.
Well, nobody.
Delaware doesn't.
People don't even know Delaware is a state. Stop it.
Delaware who?
I live in Jersey. True. I do. I can sneeze an hour down the way and get shit for less.
Listen, that's I can fair. Get free drinks going down to Delaware.
That's fair, but I
better
bet
not 2,000 miles west.
Bet good money doesn't half the people in Brick City don't know Delaware is a place. They think it's South New Jersey.
People don't even know Central New Jersey exists. They just think it's
there.
Central
you go. Jersey. Yeah, like yeah, there's farms in New Jersey. What?
That's Southern New Jersey.
Tony, my favorite thing about Milwaukee is those big ass winners. Love them.
The brats.
Did you say we? Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's because San Antonio's got the big old women.
Brats?
So
are you talking about brats?
Milwaukee's got the big old wieners.
Are you talking about brats?
We need more people from Milwaukee to come to San Antonio.
Tell me you're talking about
to be with the big old women. Yeah, there we go.
I thought I was the Utah Coxling.
Are you
shit.
Talking about brats?
whatever your mind thinks I'm talking about, let it fly.
I call it the hanging hammer. So whatever you
hanging hammer.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
The hanging hammer is his penis.
Thank you.
That's also a Blue Sky account, unlike the one that's not mine. Remember,
we all know Rick Cash pussy is one. We know
well,
that.
Folks, it feels like at this time in the show, account. We're gonna get to our first commercial break
totally
right here
is.
on Pod is War right here on Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com. We remind you to always use your head and head on over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back. Pod is War. Right here. ChairShot Radio Network. TheChairShot.com. Don't forget to go to thechairshot.com. The best coverage in all of the websites across the nation for professional wrestling. Andrew Belaz and Stephen Mitchell do a phenomenal job. AJ is in there every once in a while. You get an article from Greg. The ChairShot staff picks were too much of a pain in the ass. So they like 12 matches and the debacle I had to go through to get picks for fucking Evolution. I was just good. So maybe I'll do something where I'll rotate in a couple people at a time, be a little more tolerable. But nonetheless, you can go back and check out mine and Greg's picks on his who should and who will win from SummerSlam. We're going to get to SummerSlam. But first, Ray, do you want to lead this conversation? Do you know the majority of the facts of this whole thing? Or do you want me to lay it out and then let you lead it?
I mean, I know I've been paying attention to it all morning. So amongst friends, the group, us here at the show, I should have put you in the text thread, AJ. I woke up early this morning and happened to catch, as soon as it was tweeted by WWE and ESPN PR, that the deal of a lifetime has been cut. That Nick Khan is out here making money, bro. WWE has signed a 5-year deal with ESPN to take simply and strictly their premium live events to ESPN, particularly for their direct-to-consumer new application or streaming service, which will drop August 21st. However, there's a bit of information that people aren't seeming to understand, because there's a lot of fans are taking this slightly negatively because Peacock is a lot cheaper than what this new direct-to-consumer streaming app would be, because that would be $30 with ESPN just making the new deal with the NFL Network and Red Zone, all of ESPN's verticals and everything else. And this is separate from ESPN Plus because ESPN Plus still exists. They're also going to replace ESPN Plus on the actual, the mouse bundle with Disney Plus and Hulu, which Hulu is being swallowed by Disney Plus.
Absorbed.
I like the word swallowed. More PG.
As long as it's not spitting.
Did you know, though, that the storks bring the good babies, the ravens bring the bad babies, but my favorite of all, the swallow, brings no babies.
No babies. I don't know much about that, apparently.
Mamma mia, Papa Pia, we had no babies, so it couldn't have a diarrhea.
You are Texas Devia for a reason. Yeah.
These are jokes. But the good thing is, if you already have ESPN in some form of your cable package, like me, I ain't paying a dollar. So, but also, it's important to note that this is just for their premium live events. They're not even getting paid for their library like Peacock had everything. Peacock had the entire existing library, the shows they had done, all that on top of the PLEs. This is just for the PLEs. They ain't gonna get another 150 mil a year for that. Brandon Thurston, who, love him, hate him, it's good at his job due to WrestleNomics, has done the numbers that this is a 60% markup from their last deal with Peacock. 325 mil a year is over. It's 200 million more than they got for Peacock. This is ridiculous.
So that's great in putting it in WWE terms right there. The other thing that's being added to this ESPN DTC app, which will be $29.99 a month, NFL now is a 10% stakeholder in ESPN because all of the NFL Network and all of their stuff is heading over to ESPN, along with more games on ESPN. Trying to think what else. There's a whole bunch of other stuff. So the interesting part
One more thing. Probably I buried the lead. I'm sorry, Tony. So when we say that this is for this new direct-to-consumer application, streaming service or whatever, that's including ESPN's verticals. There will be PLEs on ESPN, the channel, on cable. You will be flipping your channels, and you just like you have to watch Monday Night Football on ESPN, imagine WrestleMania 2026 on cable. Can you imagine the number of people that can and will watch that now, as opposed to having to watch it strictly on a streaming service? That is otherworldly.
ESPN is going to draw huge numbers in a place where they normally wouldn't, which is Saturday night, where WWE has moved their PLEs to, right? But here, on the overall broader scope of how everything's gone from cable and satellite to now to streaming and how everybody wishes this was that was this. Listen, before WWE Network, before it all ended, I was spending $720 a year just to watch the pay-per-views, just for the pay-per-views, okay? So let's start there. Two, ding. This is bad news for streaming and satellite, or not for streaming, for satellite and cable. And here's why. This is the biggest hurdle for most people to cutting those out of their lives because you cannot get ESPN unless you have satellite or DirecTV or YouTube TV or whatever, something like that. But now, I don't need it, really. I mean, the only thing I need it for is SmackDown. But I think there's a way I could get a USA Network app or something, but that's on Peacock, right? That's Universal.
You can't watch SmackDown.
Oh, that's stupid. But
yeah, no, it's not on Peacock.
See, here's the thing, too, and this is huge for ESPN because now the ball is even more in their court where you remember multiple times over the last decade, they've been off the air on certain satellite and cable providers. Like, it just happened to me at the start of football last year, I think, right? Which was insane. So this is a huge bargaining chip for ESPN. For me, I don't know. I really don't know what to think of it. I just rather wait and hold my breath and see what comes of it. Andrew?
The markup is interesting, but it's not surprising because WWE's had their, like, best years for the last 4 or 5 years straight. So if they're doing monster business, then it would make sense that you mark up you know, what you're selling, because it's overperforming, so to speak. So that's good for them. I mean, also people complaining about the price, like this is like four or five streaming services bundled up together now at this point.
You're paying more for all of that ESPN on your cable or satellite bill when they break it down what you pay for. You're paying at least
cable
that much
as well on top of it, yeah.
Right, but that's part. That portion is at least that much money is responsible for.
If Hulu, Disney, NFL, WWE are all kind of under the same umbrella now, like that, you're saving money if it's only $30 for four different things like that. Because it's almost the old cable concept where, you know, you go one place and you have all of these options instead of needing to have Netflix, Prime, you know, Hulu, Disney Plus, fucking Tubi, whatever, fucking all that shit.
And I don't want to tell you incorrectly, because I do know that this ESPN vertical, this new DTC vertical, will be a part of the bundle. I don't want to lie that the $30 is the total for the bundle, as opposed to just the streaming service. I'd imagine, because if I remember correctly, I have the bundle for Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, and Hulu, and I want to say my bundle is like $20-$25,
so
somewhere around there.
ESPN,
so add like the 10 you play for Peacock and put it on that.
ESPN's DTC's unlimited plan will cost $29.99 a month. That gives fans access to all of ESPN's linear networks: ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN US, SEC Network, ACC Network, ESPN News, ESPN Deportes, in addition to ESPN on ABC, ESPN Plus, ESPN3, SECN Plus, and ACCNX. All told, the lineup encompasses 47,000 live events each year, on-demand replays, studio shows, original programming, and more. I don't think you get...
That's not the bundle. That's just the DTC.
Right. Yeah, but I'm trying to see if the DTC will include the bundle.
No, they're going to add it to the bundle to replace ESPN Plus. Which, by the way, I still don't see the difference between the two, ESPN Plus and that. Sorry, AJ.
No,
also coming
good.
To ESPN standalone streaming service, more NFL content under new licensing agreements. Additional NFL programming and content will be coming to the standalone sports streamer, as well as to, as to Disney Plus. So no, it doesn't seem like Disney Plus and that bundle is going to be included with the ESPN thing, because it seems like more NFL stuff is going to Disney Plus as well.
I'm just laughing because the only thing going through my mind is, what, is Kurt Warner's story that much of a Cinderella story? No. No, the DTC sounds good and everything. It's just, I can say right now, for me, paying for Peacock, just for the PLEs and some of the other shit that I actually watch that's on Peacock, like Twisted Metal, it's like $15 a month, which I'm fine with. And then you said that this bundle deal for Hulu and all that is like 30 or 35, some shit like that. I think for some reason 35,
I pay now, yes, it's like $25.
But it's going to go away because Hulu is going into Disney Plus, so that's going to change.
Disney bought Disney owns ESPN.
They're inevitably going to put something together with Disney Plus and ESPN. They got to.
Yeah, they're going to do some. I have a feeling they're going to do some fuck shit where it's going to be like $40 just to watch all of this, which still isn't that bad of a deal, in my opinion. But at the same time, it's, all right, let's see what streaming service do I have to drop in order to save money so I'm not paying premium for something that I don't give a shit about. This is kind of like what I was saying in the chair shot group, but I was just at work, so I worded it wrong, where it's cable was so much goddamn easier, in my opinion.
And
but I understand why they're doing this shit.
I feel for people. I do, because I'm privileged. I have Xfinity, so I get Peacock for free. I have Xfinity as my internet, so I get Peacock for free.
Hey, listen, a lot of people
I have cable, so I'll get ESPN.
Yeah.
Part of my package.
A lot of people get Netflix and shit like that for free because they have different through their phone and stuff like
T-Mobile.
That. Right? And so that's where you got to beat the man, right? You got to beat the buck. You got to save a dollar. You got to think smarter. You got to, you know, there's ways to not, I mean, also, like, if you're allowed three logins, well, get two people that you trust and that will split the bill with you. There's another way to do it, right? Like, play by the rules, but make sure you do it to the utmost of saving money. So I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal.
And I don't like, personally, I will never begrudge a person, especially in this economy, especially with the way things are in the world right now, in our world, societally right now. I don't begrudge anybody for having qualms or quibbles with the financial issue. I get that. We're trying to find, never in human history has there been a time where we're trying to get more with less.
It makes more sense that Rich Eisen was announced coming back to ESPN a few weeks ago now, hey?
By the 100%. By the way, another great deal. Well, they're trying to fill more content because they realize that they don't want to work.
Do you guys have you guys paid attention to the Rich Eisen show since like WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Do you know who's a regular guest on the Rich Eisen show? Seth Rollins, who actually hosted the show and used the show to show that he was injured as part of the ruse, which is hilarious.
Yep. But just to put a bow on what I was saying, the one thing that I have a problem with, regardless of how bad society and finances can be, is I think it's hypocritical to be a complainer of any type of monetary value in watching WWE pay-per-views. Because if you just started watching in the past 10 years, cool, got you. It's kind of like the opposite of the Homer fan of like the Warriors or the Chiefs who just started becoming a fan and they got good. Like Tony said at the beginning of this conversation, all four of us here are old enough to have to pay $30, $40, $50 for pay-per-view.
It was 60
every month.
It was
60. Yeah, 60. It
was
50.
It was 30 or 40 just for TNA.
So
TNA was 30 or 40. What does that mean WWE was?
Slammiversary was 40 bucks.
Huh?
So Slammiversary a couple weeks ago was 30 bucks. So I mean 40 bucks. So like to throw an extra 10 a month. And it's not, and you're not just getting WWE, but you're getting a million other things. I don't mean to sound elitist, because I know that sounds elitist. I don't really have a lot of sympathy for that.
I mean, my only agreement, I suppose, with some people that are complaining is it's the same kind of companies that's buying up certain things. And example, like, I want nothing to do with Disney. Nothing they do interests me. Everything they've touched has gone down in quality, in my opinion, which is why I just burn out of different things like Marvel and Star Wars. And ESPN's got their asses in fire too with all the lawsuits and letting certain people go and all the kind of drama circulating between who they're hiring, who they're firing, who they're not, yada, yada, yada. So it's just a lot of bullshit surrounding everything in this conversation. Some even getting drudged up because of WWE with a certain somebody that came back on SummerSlam. And there's some people that are dragging up certain things, even though there was, he was never like named as being complicit. You know, he was just kind of offered. And then she kind of just said, nothing happened, but you know, this happened. So now they're just kind of throwing his name in there because there's an allegation that he's like guilty by association almost. So every company involved in this merger, whatever you want to call it, has some shitty drama, has some skeletons in the closet that have come out recently. So it's kind of, I could see people just not wanting to give more money to the machine because it's like all the shitty, like rich people just getting together to pull everything in one spot. So it's either, you know, get on board or get hit by the fucking train kind of thing. And that gets irritating to kind of be given that situation.
This is how I always looked at it, personally. This weekend, me and my daughters and my mom and a friend of ours are going to see Weapons. We're going to see it in the 4DX chairs. That was $18 a ticket. That's for one movie.
Yes.
$18 is approximately about how much 90% of these streaming services cost or less. So if I can spend that on one movie, I could spend that on something where I have upwards of 300, 400, 500 hours. Now, the part you mentioned about, Andrew, about the morality of it, I'm with you. I get that. But I have a little sympathy for that, too, because if you don't want to support WWE because of what happens at the end of Sunday night, stand on your soapbox. But you was gonna watch that shit on Peacock anyway, paying the same money he was paying.
Exactly.
That's so why, like, I'm just throwing that out there as a perspective I can have empathy or sympathy for, I suppose.
If you stand on it, I got respect for you if you stand on it. These people ain't standing on that part. I don't want to spend no more money. And then you're going to go buy a $20 burger meal at Five Guys.
Well, yeah, but you know, the beauty of the movie thing is that's why you get that fucking like monthly movie pass ticket thing at Regal or whatever. Because that's only like 20 or 25 bucks and you get unlimited movies. So watch two movies, it pays for itself.
AJ, jump in.
There ain't nothing I can jump in on that because they hit everything on the fucking head. Like, I understand why people are being all humbug. We'll get to what happened SummerSlam and everything else. I get it. I understand. Like, I've seen so many people going, well, I'm not watching WWE. I'll see you at Survivor Series, everybody. Bye.
Look,
yeah.
Paris, AJ, Paris.
Or Paris, yeah, Paris, where you're going to have Stephanie Vaquer and Naomi facing off and whatever else comes to be.
Well, you're going to get Cena and Lesnar.
Yeah. Who?
Oh, yeah, that makes... Look, what the
you weren't supposed to say it. We were leading towards it.
God,
we were helping you. We were leading, and now you just said the word. Where's your Pee Wee Herman sound effect, fucker?
But it's... There you go. Perfect.
Anyway.
But no, it's it Tequila. Makes sense on paper. I understand what the fuck's going on. The whole business conspect. What the fuck? I'm drunk. The whole business aspect of everything where it's, hey, look, we can get more money out of this. Perfect. Great. Yeah. And they can show everything. So everyone wins involved. Perfect. That's all that matters. People are just all humbug because it's, but WWE hurt my feelings on Sunday.
You remember when everybody was going to stop watching because they were taking blood money from Saudi? And then they've had record numbers of profits.
I
think Patrick still doesn't watch the Saudi PLEs.
But see, that's specific. He doesn't watch the Saudi PLEs.
Yeah.
But he still watches.
Just saying. Well, let's.
I mean, that's a good point.
Any last thoughts on the ESPN deal? How big it is? Impact? We covered it really well. Thanks for leading that conversation.
It might be soon if this continues.
I mean, Triple A and TNA. I mean, Triple A for sure, but you know, TNA is almost like WWE.
They've got a perfect cross brand right there. NXT. NAAA. That's just one show. NXT and AI.
But any last thoughts on the whole?
To cover all of it.
Any last thoughts on the whole ESPN deal with in total? Or you think we caught it? Should we take our last break and get into wrestling? Or you got something there, Ray?
No, man, that's it. I think we're good. It's so as a guy who cares about the business end of the business. It's a fun time to watch, because the thing that I've always taken umbrage with fans about that have an issue with, well, why do you care about millionaires getting richer? I don't give a fuck about them getting richer. But if you care about this business in the way that I care about it, something that I was going to actually dedicate my life to doing, if you care about it in the way that I care about it, then the bigger it gets, the better it is for everybody. Like, yeah, Nick Khan's going to get richer and Hunter's going to get richer and all these motherfuckers. But you know who else is? That the dude who has to fucking do the turnbuckle that Cody undid at WrestleMania. The dude who has to put the Stu's gonna make more money off of this. Like, everybody gonna get paid better. So it's a good thing
and
for everybody.
More money means bigger contracts for the wrestlers you like, a bigger roster possibly, and then
that wrestler you think that's in the indies that needs a shot might get the shot now.
Exactly, because they got the money to spend. So, like that's why the rich people getting a little richer sometimes works out okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, everybody get paid.
Exactly.
A rising tide lifts all ships. We'll be right back. Pod is War. Follow us at Pod is War. Don't forget about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Check it out. Plenty of great t-shirt designs. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
All right, that doesn't work there, but I'll tell you something, it works here.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
I had to make room on the C disc, Ray. So I had to delete a lot of downloads, which killed some of my soundboard, which means I'm going to have to open up my it's not even that old, older laptop. And it'll probably take me about an hour and a half to send like 50 files.
Why don't you have an external hard drive? Yeah.
Hey, look at this flash drive.
Actually, you know what? Never mind. I'm just going to drop that old laptop off by DP tomorrow, and I'll tell him I'll pick it up in a week. Actually,
there
you
go.
Keep it. Just give me the drive.
When in doubt, Dan it out.
Well, hey, I like that's a great. That should be a T-shirt, honestly. The amount of people that have been going to him for the new recording process since Skype ended. Anyway, Pod is War, Ray Cash, Andrew Belaz, AJ Belaz, PC Tony. Let's get it into SummerSlam, gentlemen. I enjoyed it. I don't think we need to talk about every match, but AJ, go ahead. What are your overall thoughts on the 2-day event?
I mean, the surprises galore. It was a really good pay-per-view. PLE, sorry. I'm still old school. I'm going to call it a pay-per-view. Go fuck yourself. You had some damn good matches, and there's not really any blind spots other than like maybe a handful of matches, but all in all, it was still a good night, or two nights, sorry.
Andrew, how much did you catch?
I mean, I caught pieces. I didn't catch it live, but the cards ran out pretty nicely. I liked the cash in because I didn't really buy the injury, and then the fact that he kind of threw that out there, I'm like, that was funny. Also, I was a little amused at the lead up for the Cena thing, because I think one of us, when we were going over Mania or Rumble ideas and all other stuff, when we were talking about the whole Cena turning and they were like, well, how does he get back? Somebody was saying like he just kind of like gets disenfranchised or realizes the error of his ways type thing, and you know, kind of turns back face. That's kind of what happened. So one of us said it. I don't remember who, because you expect me to go back and listen to a show. Come on, no. I'm not gonna go back months and try to figure it out.
It wasn't me.
It
wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you, Tony, okay, it wasn't, just hating everything.
It wasn't me, and if it was you, you would remember, so it had to have been Ray.
Little me?
He knows,
I'll give
too.
Ray the credit.
He knows, too. Okay, now you don't get to take your lap because you've been playing coy.
I don't want to
take credit. Yeah, go jump in the pond, coy.
By the way, I don't want the credit because I think it was the dumbest shit ever. But you know what? Motherfucker's going to be gone in 5 months. You know,
and he has to go out as a face. You know there are
lesser egregious things that there are more egregious things going on that I can be upset about.
Let's talk about the close of Sunday night
making
then.
Sense. I was going into that because that makes sense for why they bring Lesnar back.
Sure.
Because some people were complaining that, oh, well, why didn't Lesnar do that to Cody? Because A, there's unfinished business with Lesnar and Cena. And B, what's the better way to get Cena back in the baby face pleading for the fans and needing help and fighting from underneath than giving him the fucking beast incarnate that everybody knows is legit and will rip your fucking head off.
Speaking of bringing up things that people had said in the past, I'm pretty sure AJ was there when somebody said on DWI before SummerSlam.
Yeah, it was Dan.
No, it wasn't. Fuck you. It was me. You're a cunt. Go to hell. You stupid cunt.
You down
fuck
real
you.
Quick.
Yeah. Yeah, when in doubt,
I'm sorry, Tony. You forgot what Pod is War AJ is. Let me remind you.
I didn't forget nothing, because let me tell you, your when in doubt, Dan it out was wrong. It was PC Tunney. It was PC Tunney who, at the end of it, said, you know what? Okay, what if, you know, we don't get the cash in on Sunday, right? What if Cody wins? Then what happens? I said, is there any way we get Brock Lesnar? I think there's a way. And Dave right away said no, thinking about the legal troubles, right? But I'm just, it's the easiest way to get him away from where he is, right? Because now he's completely done with Cody in the title, right, Andrew?
Oh, you would assume so.
Right. I mean, somebody jump in here, and I'm going to grab the shot I have of the dates that he has left. In fact, so, I got it here. It's not many at all. Oh, you guys talked a lot this morning. Here it is.
Just a little bit.
Not me.
The other morning, I think it was Monday morning after SummerSlam, like I didn't respond to anything the entire morning because I got up late and went to work and was really busy. And Dave actually messaged me. Are you okay? I'm like, why? He's like, you haven't responded to anything. I'm like, I'm fine. Anyway, he's on SmackDown this week. Then he's not on SmackDown for two more weeks. Then he's on SmackDown before Clash. He's at Clash, so that means he has to face Brock Lesnar at Clash. He's on the SmackDown after Clash. Then he's on Raw 10 days later. Then he's at Crown Jewel nearly a month later. Then he's at Survivor Series about 6 weeks later. And then he doesn't appear again until his last match. Now, I'll bet you that he'll be at some Raw or probably SmackDown before Survivor Series and his retirement match.
I thought he had like 11 or 12 dates. That's why as soon as I'm like, that doesn't seem right. Wait a minute.
Well, I think he's not going to be confirmed for all 11 or 12. And that's part of the fun of left. Cena could show up.
Yeah,
so that means there's three to play with. Yeah.
Eight confirmed. So
if he's okay, eight confirmed. Because I thought when he like did his whole like, that's how many dates I have. Once it's zero, I'm gone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's probably going to have a SmackDown likely is what they're doing with him right now. So
right.
And with
one or two appearances on Raw.
And if he's going to feud with Brock for a month or two or whatever it is, Brock don't come to work every week. Well,
I was
going to
say the same thing. That's a perfect kind of schedule for Brock. Well, show up once every 3 weeks. You two
honestly,
see
the smart thing.
Say less.
The smart thing would be because he's on SmackDown now and then not for 2 weeks would be to have John and no Brock this Friday. Next Friday, Brock and no John. And then the Friday before, you have both of them. That's the smart thing to do because you're going to be in Paris anyway for SmackDown that week, but maybe not. Yeah, you think they would be. The funny thing is, though, Clash is on a Sunday. It's Memorial Day week or Labor Day weekend. It's not on a Saturday.
Well, that's because of the holiday.
Right. Yeah, that's just because people are off. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the pairing. Triple H has been very, very open and adamant that, number one, clearly, they feel like legalities be damned, which, with all respect to situation, he was in no legal trouble. This was all true. Uncomfortableness, right? They wanted Brock back. But what predicated that was Cena asked for Brock. So, cool, whatever. As a wrestler and a character, I've always loved Brock because the mood changes when he comes around. Nobody has the aura he has. Nobody can bring to wrestling what he does. It's not even close. And when he's motivated, he's one of the best wrestlers, best sellers in the game. We've all known Brock has been problematic for a long time. We can have the conversation. We don't have to. We know it. We've been doing this for a minute. Mm-hmm. My issue comes with, and Cena's earned the right to do what the fuck he wants. If Cena said, I want to do arm bars and talk out loud with fucking Jamie Noble for the rest of the time, do it. You earned that.
Just spoken word concert.
Right, and I'm serious. Hold very few one, people have earned the right to drag. Go out like he has.
Hold two, arm bar. Hold three, the moss covered, three handled family grandunzel.
I still got 200 more. I got 200.
200 more.
Did anyone see the ESPN video where he actually finished the list?
No, I didn't find that.
I think I remember seeing that. And like he finishes with like the first three that he just said too. So it's pretty good. Ray, to your point though, and I've said this for a long time, and I think it's probably my number one dream matchup in their prime. No one has brought legitimacy to professional wrestling like Brock Lesnar since Andre the Giant.
That's a great point. He is.
Could you imagine?
He is the most legitimate wrestler.
Peak Andre against peak Brock with Heenan and a heel Andre and Brock. Actually, a face Heenan for once with Andre and then Heyman with Brock.
It'd have to be young Andre because old Andre would be like, I'm not bumping for that, Bubba.
No, I'm talking like mid-70s in Paris.
Andre. Yeah. When Andre was out there working. Well, it'd be fun. Like,
doing head scissors.
And Andre's face makes more sense, too, because then he'll actually bump a little bit.
My problem with that, though, is I've never seen Heenan as a face manager, but that's okay.
You don't need to have Heenan.
You're going to have Heyman on the other side. That's part of my dream matchup.
Oh, I got it.
I mean, fair.
That is like the top two
best
managers.
Advocate.
Right? You see what I mean? Yeah. But we can do – Heenan can – he's got range.
The point I was bringing all that up for was wrestling brain, wrestling fan, I wanted to see Cena give back a little bit on his way out. So, like, I get the feud with Cody was giving back because he essentially passed the torch, right? Cool. And it was necessary. I get that. Cool. But other than that, every feud he's had in this run since January, the only other person he's put over that wasn't one of his cast of
compatriots,
was Jay by letting Jay win the Rumble. And
I thought you were going to say Logan Paul with the rub of teaming with him.
No, they put Truth over.
Yeah, but he wrestled Truth
like 5 minutes.
Yeah, that too. But I mean, he's wrestled Truth. I
think this coming back for John Cena, he didn't need to give anything back to anybody in that locker room. He was already giving them something. He's already giving them something that you already brought up, and that's more money by whoever working with him. This was about giving back to the fans. He didn't have to come back at all. He could have just retired. He didn't have to. He could have had one last match. He could have had a 6-week build up to one last match at a WrestleMania. He didn't need to do any of this. He doesn't need any of it. This is about giving back to the fans. Period.
You're right, but you don't think fans would like to see him face somebody new for once?
No.
I think when you get to this point, I don't know there's a way to do that.
There is a specific reason as to why
he can't wrestle Drew.
I mean, he could. But there's a specific reason why he went, I'm going to pick Randy Orton as my first title defense. I'm going to pick R-Truth because he's always a fun guy to wrestle with. And he sees something in Cody, which, I mean, we've all seen something in Cody, whether it's an executive vice president or, you know, actual WWE Universal Undisputed, whatever the fuck you want to call it, champion. He's putting over his boys in understanding, I'm giving you the greatest hits. That's the reason why Cody went over at the end of SummerSlam and why you randomly hear the Beast's music come out where it's like, oh, that was a nice fucking surprise, with all things considered. That's a nice surprise. He's his toughest opponent.
AJ brings up a fantastic point with the word of greatest hits, because it's the same. If you go to a Metallica concert, you don't want to hear the new shit. You want to hear Battery. You want to hear Puppets. You want to hear Sandman. You don't want to hear fucking, anything off Death Magnetic
or
whatever.
My lifestyle determines my death style.
Or
my
anything off of St. Anger
determines
except
the fact that I'm leaving your concert now.
But still, so I think that this is that mentality Cena's going in with. It's kind of like a, John, this is your life. This is a greatest hits tour. People have been bitching on the IWC side of the fucking Twitterverse that he doesn't have a shot to close the chapter with Edge because Edge is
that's my main gripe, and it's not just because of my name.
I'm not disagreeing with your points. They would be ridiculously off missing the entire point if he didn't go with some of the hits. My point is, you had a year. You had one full year and you couldn't give him one feud with somebody that's... I'm not saying he needs a feud with Melo or needs a feud with Andrade, and they're great. I'm not dissing them as lower. But you feuded with Cody. Drew McIntyre isn't somebody you can feud with. You can't have a match with Damian Priest. Like, I'm just one match? Not even a feud?
No.
And, like, I just... I, well, no. I, look.
Think about... Get it. About Liger.
Yeah, but he's been a, it's been a heel run, Ray. It's been a heel run.
Okay. There's no baby faces?
Not really.
Not yeah, no.
He could have had one match with Damian Priest. Damian Priest is a baby face. One match?
No.
One match?
How does that make where does it make sense though?
In the same place that the fucking truth thing made sense. That
but the problem is, the whole thing about him was coming back to win the title, and then he won the title, and the whole thing about that was about keeping the title and leaving with it. So, like, where does Damian Priest fit into that?
In the same way that he was challenging motherfuckers for his championship after he said he didn't want to do that. He challenged Truth. He challenged Randy Orton.
Those made
sense. Priest came out and said, you're not getting away without this, and jump in the same way Truth got the match with him. Jumping him and all the fighting, this, that, and the other.
But that doesn't. But they're not. They're not. Nice but we already established that this is a greatest hits tour and that the only giving back is to the fans.
We haven't established that. Well, y'all have.
Let me build off the counter concept to you.
It is what it is. You just think it should be something different.
Okay. It isn't what it is. He came himself saying, I want to give back.
Instead of yes or no, let's just posit it this way. You're maybe, right, R-Truth attacked
maybe there's some really
him,
good mentoring going on backstage.
I don't mean to pluck
No, that's an, that's an impact with Victoria Crawford. Good old Mentoria Crawford right there. But anyway.
I think him and Damian Priest play dominoes every morning.
The R-Truth thing makes sense from a heel perspective because even if Truth jumped him and he gets bitchy and he's like, fuck you, I'm going to challenge you. Yeah, whatever. Main event or whatever it was.
It was main event.
Truth is seen as a joke. So that's not a challenge. Randy is his greatest rival. He's the Vegeta to Cena's Goku. So you know when Vegeta shows up and fucking RKO's Goku's ass, they're throwing hands. That's just, it's on site at that point.
Sure.
And then R-Truth trying to kind of get in there, that's seen as, just to keep the DBZ metaphor, that's Krillin attacking Goku. So it's like, it's going to be fun because you're my buddy,
but you're a joke. Not Krillin, Yamcha.
He is not Yamcha. Yes, he's not Tien. He's not Chaozu. R-Truth is better than that.
He is Yamcha.
Three live crew.
Shut up.
It is not Krillin. Three live crew and nothing live about Yamcha. Motherfucker's still dead in a ditch somewhere. Anyway, so R-Truth is not seen as a legitimate threat. So Cena trying to build him up and get angry and hypey, that made so much sense. He's like, I can kill three or four of my dates beating the shit out of a lower mid-card guy just because he got in my way. That's good heel psychology right
and
there.
And you're right. And I don't disagree with anything you said, and I'm not going against anything you said. I am not asking for feuds. I'm not asking for chunks of time. He could not have one match.
No.
With somebody, well, that is bullshit, and I'm gonna say it's bullshit until I have no breath.
Then this is the
dumbest fucking shit that's ever happened in wrestling history. Then
it's happened. Look at Liger's.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Retirement tour. His big feud.
I don't watch Liger and let me, fucking...
Ray, let
you
me be...
You did watch Liger. You popped for the Liger shit.
Let
don't
me
tell
be,
me you didn't.
Let me
that
be
there was
non...
a fucking six man with, like, fucking Great Sasaki, and then he had the fucking... retirement match with I think it was Dragon.
Oh,
League,
his last couple of matches, yes, but the entire year he didn't wrestle one full time member.
It was a Minoru Suzuki fucking feud for a while because he brought back Kishin Liger. Remember?
Got
you think anybody wanted his ass to go against
his
fucking
last,
Yo or Show?
In his last calendar year, did he have one match with somebody that was not of his list of
do
people?
Tournament matches count? Because you know how Japan does it different than America. So
sure.
How are you quantifying it?
Yes, I'm some type of match that shows the crowd.
He's not done
this
yet.
That might be kind of important.
Even if
he's
there's
not
no storyline impetus,
I'm fine with that.
So even if it was just a throwaway thing, like at Survivor Series, if it was,
yes.
if it was Cena giving a young guy a rub in a Survivor Series team,
it thing. Could still happen. So it could still happen. Here, Ray, I wanna comment to you in not being like a Pot is War instigator kind of flavor. Like, I want to give you this. I agree that Cena's heel run, like, it's and not a lot of people are going to talk a lot about it, and it's not going to ever really be remembered anything more than he actually did turn heel and, like, oh, this happened. But, like, very less than satisfactory. Like, didn't make a lot of sense. And you're kind of finding out that, like, this pivoting stuff, I don't know if it's real or not, and if it is, it's not great.
The pivot has to be real because ain't no way in hell he's gonna go into Brock feud without.
No, I'm talking about the overall way of booking that, like, people are falling into believing that Triple H is like, well, I just kind of, you know, if the fans say enough, then I go with the fans, you know.
Oh, I mean, in certain situations, I'm sure it's true, but not all the time.
Yeah, and the other thing is. Like, we're talking about Lesnar versus Cena, with not just everything going on, but just Lesnar's track record in WWE. Are we really gonna believe he's a face? I know for like the last 2 years, where he's taking photographs with people and everything. That's all well and good. You really fucking think that Lesnar is a face in any regard of the fucking word?
He's stone cold. He's not really ever going to get booed. He just might get cheered against in the wrong situation. That's all. Like, people went nuts for him.
And yeah, to that point, fans in the wrestling sphere love Brock because Brock can do things nobody else can do. Now the question is, does Brock want to be big mean? The little run Brock had as Cowboy Brock as a babyface. Remember,
yeah,
he wrestled
what
on
I meant by
parties.
The 2 years of him.
That was a great run.
Boombox.
I love that.
Boombox. Hey, Brock. We went to the same one. Boombox Brock.
Oh God.
Tiny I ain't talking about Boom. I'm talking about after.
Oh,
Heyman,
you're right. But we were then going to build off of that and say Boombox was a great era too. Like, yeah. I when Tony and I are in sync, it gets a little scary.
I don't like it. Go the fuck back. Remember, you're a Velaz. God damn it.
I do. I give him shit constantly. Just sometimes we hit a moment.
I'm sorry we spent all this time on that.
Next time on Macabre Theater.
I'm looking for it now. But I thought John Cena called Brock Lesnar his greatest rival.
No, they didn't say the greatest rival. They said his toughest rival. I remember
that would make
distinctly
more sense, getting thrown 27 times.
Either way.
Michael Cole said toughest rival.
Either way.
I will agree with.
Edge,
greatest fuck no on a hell. No.
Edge not being a part of this final run is as big a travesty as us not having Roman versus Rock when Roman had for the title for that long. It's just ridiculously stupid. I agree with that.
Well, it's
just so,
because Christian Cage has to go find him.
I got two questions for Ray, and one of them is for all of us.
Okay.
The question for Ray only. Do you want to see John wrestle somebody that you don't think is the greatest hits list, right?
Yes.
In some way. Who's that one person? You get to pick one person and you get to pick one date after Clash, considering we'll say that Cena is now in a build with Brock to Clash.
That's the simplest answer possible. Drew McIntyre. Let him in his career.
Survivor Series? One-on-one match for whatever?
His last match in West Newberry or Boston, wherever it is.
Oh,
let Drew be the one to end his career and have that accolade. Oh. He's big enough he's high enough on totem pole. He's big enough as a character and as a heel. He's the type of guy that would use that for the next 3 years.
What if that guy is Logan Paul?
I'm fine with that too, because that would be a great. So I have Logan Paul. I have Logan Paul facing, who does that?
Yeah, I think Logan already got his Cena rub though.
I have Logan going wrestling for the World Championship, for the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. All right.
Against Cody.
Whoever gets Cody. So whoever gets it, Drew, or Logan, whoever gets that last match, should be the guy to face Cody at WrestleMania. Let that be the building block to that match.
All right. Well, then, who's going to be, Andrew, who's John Cena's last match against? Is the question for everybody.
If I had to pick someone, and I think by December-ish, you start running out of greatest hits, because I think we're going to see him mix it up with somebody in like a Survivor Series situation, and then that could lead to his final match. I'd like to see it be Bron Breakker. I think Bron has that lineage. He's got the intensity. The team, the kids like him. The crowd likes him. And he'd be a legitimate enough looking guy to put down Cena one last time. And that'd be a big rub for Bron. Not, he doesn't necessarily need it, but he checks a lot of the boxes, and that would legitimize any kind of future push that he has.
AJ?
I'll go with Andrew where I think it's going to be a lineage. I think it's going to be something to put a feather in their cap. But I don't think it's Bron Breakker. I think Cena tries to challenge for the Intercontinental Championship, and he's going to face Dom Mysterio. That way Dom can say he is the greatest wrestler of all time because he put away John Cena.
Be still my melanated heart.
I'm not sure.
That's a good one.
I'm not sure. Right now, the way things are going, I wouldn't be surprised, considering part of the reason he blamed turning heel is because he said The Rock said it would be good TV. What if his last match is against The Rock? And what if it's also The Rock's last match?
Thrice in a lifetime? Go fuck yourself.
No, it's thrice. It's not thrice.
Thrice in a twice time, whatever the fuck you want. Whatever you said on DWI, thrice in a twice.
Yeah, if you're going to, AJ, if you're going to do my bits, at least get them right, okay? It's twice in a thrice time.
I'm not going to do your bits.
It's thrice in a twice time. Thrice in a twice time. There is what it is.
It's thrice a Roni, the San Francisco treat. That's what it is.
No, and plus, it could also be Cena's going for the Grand Slam, and he might not get it. That's why he's facing Dom. That's why I say that.
That could be something, but I don't think it's enough time for that. That could be something. I'll tell you this. He has the random date on Raw.
What if Survivor Series is John Cena and Nikki Bella versus Becky Lynch and Seth Rollins?
Please fucking God.
You can watch, but you can't touch.
I can touch the power button to turn off my television.
That was a pretty great line.
Bad when they fought Maryse and Miz, though. Ugh.
Anyway, all right, let's get back to SummerSlam. I think we've talked out the John Cena stuff, right? We're good there. Okay. What's next for Cody?
Immediately?
Going to be interviewing people on a bus, probably. Drinking vodka.
He's damn good at that.
Could be doing that right now, actually. See, we're all kind of in rhythm. Nice.
I'd imagine it's the one whoever is not gonna be his last match that I posited, Logan or Drew will probably be next, because what they just did beating Randy and Jelly Roll, I'd imagine they're gonna be feeling themselves.
Well, the other thing is Jelly said he wanted to actually do more wrestling. Like he's feeling good about it, and I swear he's learning from Abyss on how to wrestle, because he's doing a pretty damn good job with the Black Bull Slam.
Yeah, we don't need to see any more Jelly Roll. That was fun.
I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying he said he wants to, which it's always a good thing where, you know, they're not taking the Lawrence Taylor approach of, fuck, this is harder than I thought. I'm never doing this again.
Smartest thing the dude ever said. And by the way, he gets it. In terms of a celebrity that gets it, he gets it. He said he told Triple H, I need to lose. Every time a celebrity comes in, they win. Why? I need to lose.
No,
that gives me something I want to come back to.
Yeah, and they praised him for coming in and training and working hard and everything else. And I think he broke his finger or something like that. And
broke his pinky first day, taped it up and kept going.
Yeah. So
shout out to Stax and shout out to Brooks Jensen, who are the guys that were like his work buddies.
So you already brought up Bob.
To be honest, if you listen to Jelly Roll's earlier shit when he was more hip hop than country, a lot of worse has happened to him than breaking a pinky finger. So that was probably like a fucking Tuesday.
Smoke beer and drink weed.
So we... Wait, what? Okay.
That's one of his songs. Smoke beer and drink weed. Did I fucking
like
break you on that somehow?
I know.
Tony didn't acknowledge it, but like it bugged him up too. He's like, what the fuck?
I sold it. I just sold that for you. That was all playing, okay? So...
You're so good. You and Seth Rollins... Shit.
Speaking of, I was just going there. Speaking of Seth, we talked about Seth a little bit. We brought up Paul. We brought up Braun. Let's now bring up the Shula, the tribal thief,
Shula-fala.
The owner of the Shula-fala.
I'm sorry, that's the best thing anyone's ever fucking. Came
Bronson
up
Reed
with.
Is crushing it right now, in a very interesting space where he can easily just be completely overlooked the entire time. He's crushing. Let's get into the other side. Did they change their name from the Empire to the Vision?
They were never the Empire. They were
always never called themselves anything.
They were called the Empire. I specifically remember watching an episode of Raw and them being called the Empire.
Tony, I'd get paid Friday. I would bet my entire check. They were never called the Empire. I'm that sure.
Damn, you got two witnesses. Oh, he's hitting the Google machine right now.
Oh, he's putting this in notes. Get Ray's entire.
We'll wait.
No, I'm out for the rest of the show. I'm on Netflix right now.
We'll wait.
He's just going back through it. Where was it? Which week was it?
No. I gotta find the fucking Empire now.
Empire was a good Queensryche song.
It was the same night that they first called Paul Heyman the Oracle.
They never called themselves. They were never called the Empire by anybody.
I think
may have used the term Empire because talking about Roman's Empire, but no, they never had a name until Monday night.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard them actually solidify a team name. So
okay, well then, fine. Let's go this way. How do you guys like the Vision?
That was what it should have been the whole time.
Sure, it works.
You just said that is what it should have been the whole time, as if it wasn't, because it was also earlier the Empire.
You
very incriminating sentence, Ray. Especially without your lawyer, Dave.
There's a difference.
I think my confidence has been shown. Never called the Empire.
I thought they were like the nameless trio until Rollins did that whole obvious Vision thing.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, that's the name.
Can you say that one more time for my friends, please?
Sure thing. Seth Rollins' new faction is called the Vision, not the Empire. Heyman made a mistake calling it the Empire on Raw, but Seth said it straight.
So it was never deemed the Empire. It was just.
You said no one. Ray said no one ever called it the Empire. And that's not true. Paul Heyman called it the Empire one time on Raw.
I just said they might have used the term Empire because Roman Reigns is called. His fans are called what?
He did say that. Roman Empire. Yes.
All I said is I remember it being someone calling it the Empire.
You do not
until
get Ray's
there's
paycheck.
Words that introduce them as the Empire of Fuckery or whatever the fuck it is.
I am not interested in Ray's paycheck, nor was he serious about giving anybody his hard-earned paycheck. It was a figure of speech, but yet I feel like in the intricacies of speech, I was correct.
What?
Is that why you said intricacies so awkwardly? Because
no.
Intricacies of
intricacies.
AJ, why do I feel like I'm on DWI where he's like, yep, once again, I was right.
It's because Tony sees Blaz.
No, Ray, you're missing
AJ,
it.
He's
no,
like,
Ray, you're missing
it's
gotta
it. It's got to be DWI.
Ray,
this isn't
a DWI thing. This is a PC Tony thing. Were you not there when I was winning BWN 300?
Oh, well, me and you are all the only ones who care about competitiveness on that show, so I'm with you. Because I was I'm killing
this. You guys are the only
this is a great time to actually...
competitive on DWI.
This actually is a really good time, and we should do this. We should plug Bandwagon Nerds 300 drop this past Monday. Go back and listen. We did something really fun. You guys can read Ray's whiteboard here. We did a draft of American...
If it wasn't mirrored, I could read that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can flip it. He can flip it. So we did a draft between me, Ray, Dave, and Patrick, the four OGs of Bandwagon Nerds, in which we did a four-round draft, American National Treasures in Entertainment. So entertainment can be all-encompassing, and you had to be at least 70. So Ray drafted, and this is going to be a standing list, so if we lose someone, we're going to have to come with a vote and replace them. There's always going to be 16 National Treasures in the Bandwagon Nerds. All of our nominees were first inductions, so these were Ray's nominees that were inducted. Denzel Washington, Jane Fonda, Samuel Jackson, David Letterman. Dave's inductions were Clint Eastwood, Mark Hamill, Carol Burnett, Sylvester Stallone. Patrick inducted Harrison Ford, Mel Brooks,
Rita Moreno,
and George Takei. Oh, my. PC Tunney put in Dolly Parton, Meryl Streep, Stevie Wonder, and the only wrestling reference guy, sports and sports entertainment, Ted Turner. But Ray and I completed the power couple that is no longer together, but Ted Turner and Jane Fonda. So that was a great time. Bandwagon Nerds, 300 episodes. It's a weekly show, 300 episodes in 300 weeks, folks. That show has never missed a week. So we love that show. If you like nerd culture, if you like Marvel, if you like DC, if you like Star Wars, all that adjacent, streaming, movies, cartoons, Ray, it was a great time.
They show up a hell of a lot more than we do.
there's a very broad cast of people there. That can be a 2 to 5 man show. So,
right. Well, the show shows up more than we do.
Yeah,
broken clocks are right more often than we show up.
Fuck, well, to be fair, we beat Greg DeMarco's show.
That's fair, even though we've taken a lot of time off in between.
We're good.
I think it was part of 200 for Bandwagon Nerds, and that was like 7 or 8 people, and I'm like, holy fuck.
This is also why we don't number Pod as Wars, if you notice that, Ray.
Oh,
they just happen. There's no number.
What you see is what you get. Go fuck yourself.
It's been going on for like 7 or 8 years. We're probably barely at 300, but we don't count it, so.
No, Pod as War number 422 and a half.
I'd have
no,
to go
you
back
were right
count.
The first time, 47.
I'd
it's
have
been
go
8 years.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and count. I don't know. I'm trying to think how many. I don't know. Do you think 300? That's a lot.
Maybe.
We had like a good 3 or 4 years, and then it kind of in and out.
Yeah. Well,
so
we'll see.
4 years is about 200,
it's
roughly,
all good.
You know?
It's all good. It's all good. Let's get back to wrestling, though. Like, what's next for Seth Rollins and the rest of this faction? Like, at some point, do we see Braun and Bronson get gold, like, as tag champs or secondary champions? I mean, what's next for Seth? I would imagine it's probably, what, him and Punk at Clash? I don't know. What's next?
Well, after Raw, there was some fuck shit where it was supposed to be LA Knight and Rollins. But it's, I'm sorry, shit. Should I put on the glasses? Hold on. Wait a minute.
Well, didn't they have the match?
Well, let me talk to you. They did have the match, but some bullshit happened with CM Punk where he got a little bit of his panties in a wad and he ruined my opportunity. Yeah.
Not as good as your Drew McIntyre.
No, I know that for a fact. But
I could imagine maybe LA Knight CM Punk is the feud to see who's number one contender, maybe.
Yeah, that could work.
What about Gunther?
I don't think you want to burn
Gunther
CM
taking
Punk
time off
on Seth right now.
Fatal four-way?
Gunther has surgery.
Oh, did he?
If you believe the dirtiest of sheets, Gunther had like some sort of surgery that he had to attend to because he was hurt. But
it's also a good way to keep him, you know, with his streak. If he takes time off, then you can't count that against his day streak as champion. It's a good way to keep him fresh because he's had like a belt for 85% of his entire career or some shit like that.
I think they said 80, but yeah, no, good point. But yeah, it's you're going to have Punk wanting to beat the shit out of him. You're going to get your either SummerSlam or Royal Rumble match with Roman. So you kind of have to feed either LA Knight or have another feud with Punk for a little bit in this, where either way, people are going to be sitting pretty when it comes to that World Heavyweight title picture.
All right.
Yeah. What? It's a weird spot. That's just a weird title with the who's in the top of it at the moment. I really don't want to burn CM Punk card already. That seems stupid, right? Why would you throw him out there as the first challenge unless it's going to be a short reign for Rollins, which they don't really do with him, especially when they have him talking for a faction.
Yeah, it's interesting. You could see a way to spread that out. I mean, there could be a really good WrestleMania match too.
True.
Should we run down some other things that happened on the card? Charlotte and Alexa win the tag titles. They also defend them successfully on Raw, if I remember correctly, for a couple days.
Judgment Day invoked their rematch clause and still lost.
Thoughts that Karrion Kross could be leaving the company. His contract's up this end of this week, from what I hear.
TNA could use him.
You know, and that's the funny thing about letting some of these people's contracts expire. Like, you know, with the relationship that WWE has.
Does it really count as them expiring? Or is that kind of what you're getting at? That it's kind of like just, here, go cool off in the minor leagues. Kind of rehab your way back up almost. Use them like a farm team in MLB. Go there for like a
you're
year.
You're working off an injury, go to double A. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
but I don't know. I would like Cross and Scarlett back in TNA because they were big there. I mean, Cross is champions. The smoke show was huge. That's kind of what shot them up into, like, I guess, more of the mainstream eye. Because at that point, like, Impact was starting to get a little bit of momentum. And Cross and Scarlett were very big, you know, points in that, cogs in that machine.
We're talking about other companies. What about Dom? He's in that. Is it a four-way for the AAA championship?
It's a four-way. It's Vikingo, Dragon Lee, Dom, and one of the El Grande Americanos for the AAA Omegas.
I think
one of the Grande Americanos because there's three of them now.
Who's the third one?
And it's Ludwig. It's Gable
Ludwig,
and who?
Ludwig, Gable, and from what people are saying, it's one of the British strong styles, where it's either Pete Dunne or the other fucking one that
Tyler
I can't
Bate.
Remember. Tyler Bate.
Bate.
Really?
Yeah.
Pete would work.
Okay, so that way there's a tall, a medium, and a short grande, right?
Yeah.
There's Dink, Doink, and Dunk.
There's El Tall Americano, El Grande Americano, and El Vente Americano.
Taller.
That's going with the fucking Starbucks joke I was going to go with.
Yeah, Venti Grande and whatever else is, right?
Hey, you don't like Star Schmucks, Adam?
Fuck no.
Oh, come on. But what else did you do with that? Especially because an iced Americano is a coffee anyway.
What do you get from Starbucks?
Just walk out with coffee Daniels used to walk out with the martini.
Please, for the love of God, no, not the fucking Appletini, never again.
Yes! The Appletini,
no,
you love bad influence.
No.
Bad influence is the best.
Eat ass. Anyways. No, I
eat ass,
so
smoke grass. Two of my favorite things.
I so fucking desperately want one of El Grande Americano's signature moves to now just be called Iced, just for an ice reference, since I think they still say that he's from the Gulf of America.
No. It would be called No Ice. Because that's also racist, because ICE is the immigrant service. So you don't need ICE for him.
Exactly.
He's Americano. So
God,
no
this
ICE.
Is, this is going to be like Jeff Jarrett threw fucking tortillas in the goddamn crowd during the Royal Rumble.
No, it was Triple Mania, not Royal Rumble.
Well, there was a battle royal in it.
It was Triple Mania. Though, yes, I know. I got what you meant.
Triple Mania.
I watched it. That was like Triple Mania four years ago. He was drunk.
I was right
drunk,
there
throwing tortillas. It was the best.
It was hilarious.
So racist. But then Vampiro farted and complained about his music. It was okay.
Yeah, and fucking commentary doesn't know Spanish. They are not fluent in Spanish like two margaritas, honey.
I mean, Two pitchers of margaritas, Tunney's fluent in everything.
Do you guys think that they dropped the ball by not giving Jade the title?
No.
No.
We don't think she should have grabbed the title there?
Do you want to take this, Drew, or do you want me to?
Do you think that she's not ready and they finally figured that out and that's why they moved Naomi away from her, too?
You can answer that one first, AJ. Go.
Sure. I'm pretty sure everything that was leading to Jade winning the title was if Naomi didn't fucking cash in. Since Naomi cashed in at Evolution, it kind of threw like a whole bunch of things out the window for every single predictor in the world, where Jade is still green as grass, and that's me putting it nicely, because don't get me wrong, she has the look, she knows what she's doing. She was still in AEW for like a year and a half trying to be Goldberg, basically. But she needs to keep going, and this is going to make her hungry for a title, and maybe she'll work a little harder.
She needs to change how she wrestles.
That
she
as well.
She needs to wrestle like, I'm going to say big man, but I'm not being gender specific with that. She needs to wrestle like Kevin Nash. The big problem is, it's kind of like, I said the same thing about Big Cass, W. Morrissey, whatever you want to call him. When he started wrestling more like Kevin Nash, he became more tolerable in the ring. Jade needs to remember she's bigger than everybody, wrestle more like Kevin Nash, and stop trying to work out with the work rate people, because that's when she gets exposed.
I'll put it to a woman, like a comparison from in the women's division in some way. She has to wrestle like she's Beth Phoenix. Because Beth, or even we're going to point to the
bump,
TNA.
Though. That was Divas. We want Awesome Kong.
I was about to say, or we can go with TNA and say Awesome Kong.
Yeah, if Jade was billed and wrestled like Kong or Kong equivalent, that would be better than whatever she does lately. She's gotten better than she was in AEW. No offense to the woman. She still looks like $1 million. There's still multiple things that I have in my head that I'm just not going to verbalize.
Stop it.
I said not going to verbalize, but as a wrestler, there's still a lot that needs left to be desired. Left to be desired, yes.
Ray, jump in here. Jade Cargill. I thought it was time.
Sure, I'm just blown away as what the fuck just happened to me.
Comment on this.
Like vanilla ice cream.
Comment on this. My take.
I don't
here.
Think he means that. I think he means I the think, fact that his entire display has changed.
I think I think Tiffany is almost as not ready for prime time as Jade is, but Tiffany has the belt.
So. My thoughts on the situation is simple as this. It felt like it was the time to crown Jade and give her a chance with the ball. I think Tiffany has done a fantastic job in ring. I think she's grown leaps and bounds in ring. The company has probably pushed her harder than anybody in the company. She is undefeated all year and has beaten everybody, and not nobodies, major people. My problem with Tiffany is, I still don't see the character working. She's one of those people that probably is likable, but is a much better character as a heel. And I think she's miscast. And she's fairly heatless. She's over. So don't get me wrong. She's over. So everything she does, the crowd pops for her. She comes out, the crowd pops. She says something, the crowd pops. Tiffy time is over. But she is heatless in terms of a character to me. Jade is not heatless. That's why I was looking for the change and to see Tiffany work from underneath for the first time in a while. So this just tells me that, one, either this isn't done, they're going to redo it, or they have something more set up for Jade that we don't know about. I mean, for Tiffany, we don't know about. Because I was blown away by that match, to see that Tiffany won. I expected Jade to coronation time.
Were you also upset it was only like 7 minutes long?
Well, yeah, it didn't need to be that long because it was really good for what it was.
Once Tiffany won, but it didn't really matter how long it was, to be honest with you, for those of us who were expecting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It can soften the blow, though. Like, there's just such a thing as a good loss.
The match wasn't very good. That's probably why it was only 7 minutes, to be honest with you.
I'm higher on the match than you were, but it was not. It definitely wasn't the running for best match of the night. I do appreciate though that they're not giving Jade everything immediately. I appreciate that.
All right. What else? What else you guys got? How did you like the six-pack ladder match? I thought there was a really great run of spots there. I had no idea who to pick, and I realized like that means Wyatt Six should probably hold on to it since they're trying to re-push this group, you know, basically during the off season, right?
Match of the weekend to me. I'm a mark for ladder matches. I'm a mark for stipulation matches. I'm a mark for matches where you have to be creative with weapons and integrate a story. And there was a great story told. Tommaso Ciampa is a crazy man. And yes, that's about to be played for the rest of time.
Yeah.
With Frazier trying to do the spear and him doing a pull up on that shit. Candice LeRae continues to show you that she needs to be used more because that bump was like another Tuesday for her. Everybody was in it. Everybody had moments. Everybody had DIY were as you would want to believe, were the generals in that match. Andrew, you'll love this. I used this match to be the catalyst for starting the split up, amicable split up of the Profits, and moving the Guns to Raw. Guns, New Day, WrestleMania for the Raw titles.
That would be fantastic.
I think the Guns on Raw would be amazing. Yeah, exactly. And then again, it was you or somebody else I was talking to. Woods literally slept on Alex Shelley's couch when he started in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
Like Saban and Shelley like raised that dude.
It was our spaces like, conversation on Sunday, Ray, with
you,
Dave.
You mean consequences?
Oh yeah,
slept on couches. Mm-hmm.
Well, Austin Watson. Is that better?
God, you don't use the government name. That's not how we do it here.
He's from Texas. He wants to shoot cowboy.
Anything anybody else had specific on their mind from SummerSlam? We kind of touched on all the big stuff. Implications moving forward. Anything you're looking forward to?
Did y'all talk about Naomi Daddy playing into the ring?
No. That was great.
That was cool.
That was excellent. And I thought they did a wonderful job with it. I thought they did a great job pointing it out. And I thought Naomi did a great job of getting right back to being a heel.
I think Naomi's Twitter is underrated as fuck, too, lately.
She's really had fun with the heel side.
No. Here's the thing. I don't think Andrew's appreciative of how she's handling her Twitter. I think he's appreciative of having the image of getting back shots from Big Jim.
she ain't shy about it. That's the best part. Like, shit, you thought Priscilla Kelly and Zachary Wentz were being funny on Twitter. Like, Naomi's running with that. And the caution tape just makes it funnier.
They've been married over 10 years. Are they better be okay with knowing that, yes, they sleep together. They have sexual intercourse.
But the fact that she's doubling down on it on Twitter, like, that's woo. And she's not even, she's calling him Big Jim on purpose. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's either really big or really small.
Hey.
You're right, my bad.
There you go. There you go.
There, it's better.
Like, what? the other time it was like either the vagina's gigantic or, you know.
Was that a Family Guy cutaway when the bus kept, like, ramming into the hole in the train cave that was too small? Train.
Do you know what that joke was? Do you know what that joke was in reference to?
I'm assuming it was... Tony,
can I say it? It's really bad. Can I say it?
It's racial stereotypes, if I remember correctly.
It was a certain Colorado incident from a basketball player.
Ah, yes. Ah, that's exactly. Okay. Yeah.
Even I knew it. Shit. I think Tunney was also throwing the opposite of like the Triple H promo.
I mean, everything goes since Patrick O'Dowd.
He looks small when going into the Grand Canyon. Which, hilariously, that was Triple H on his wife.
That's why you can say that shit.
Exactly. That's why we got Big Jim back shots.
He's just gonna be like, baby, I'm gonna say this. Don't get mad. It's funny, I swear.
Can you see Hunter feeding the lines to Jericho back in the days when Jericho was talking shit about it? Hunter like talk about it.
I'm gonna take care of that sweaty, greasy animal in that ring. And don't worry, I'm gonna take care of you too, Rhino.
Jesus Christ.
Now we're just reminiscing about early 2000s WWF.
Back when Jericho was cool.
I still want a Jericho Hall shirt so badly.
And Grandpa Jimmy Jack Jericho with the glass eye.
You got the man's beast and the hose beast.
I still miss Rufus Security from WCW.
Ralphus.
Great. Like, DP and his brother didn't really watch WCW, so they had no idea that when Jericho was coming over, I'm like, you guys have no idea how great this guy is.
Man. Even you popped for Ralphus?
Oh, yeah, I love WCW. I watched all that stuff.
You were like the WWF Homer, only watching WWE stuff for like most of the time I've known you.
No,
so
I
anytime
watched,
you're just like, ah,
no,
yes, that thing.
No, I always watch WCW.
Like, oh, you watch all the shit?
I watched WCW from like the late 80s because of Saturday Night. And then
back when it was Crockett?
Yeah. And then like, you know, as far as cable, we had cable and we also had a box that wasn't white. It was and got us a... all the different channels, you know, so then we got the pay-per-views for free. You ever heard about the black box?
It also got you all the information off the plane, too.
It was the black box, right?
Yeah. I'm about to say, why the box had to be white?
I said it wasn't white.
Gotcha. I'm with you.
But no, WCW, I would, in high school, I would watch the first hour of Nitro, and then I would switch over and watch Raw and record the next 2 hours of Nitro and then fast forward and watch the 2 hours of Nitro and then I would go to school the next day.
Okay. Yeah. I was the Nitro kid and my like best friend was the Raw guy. Yeah. So we'd come to school and we'd just like go back and forth about what happened on each other's show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Sounds good.
You know, before you could watch everything, before there was streaming and all of that shit, like you actually had to talk to people sometimes.
We had a guy who had the pro wrestling torch at got in the mail.
Oh God, he was hardcore back in the 90s.
My buddy John Lindner, yeah, he was. We were in like we had almost all the same classes. It was crazy, but like it was just fun to be around more wrestling fans, you know. And then like wait for that to come and look at that. So like, yeah, I've been reading dirt sheets since the 90s.
Can I ask a question to the group? A certain Chris Jericho is his contract is supposedly coming up, either end this year, beginning of next, within the next very soon few months. Would any of you be interested in seeing him come back to WWE
for one last match and to retire? That's it. I don't nothing more. I don't want him to be any part of it. I'm kind of done with him. I don't think they want to have anything more to do with him than that. That's my take on it.
He's definitely getting the Hall of Fame, but sure.
Oh, yeah, he'll be inducted in the Hall of Fame, right? But, like, I don't think that they want to do – He don't look good anymore either, right? Like, Goldberg actually looked good. Jericho don't look that good anymore. I'm sorry, but that's
Goldberg
like
was always a body guy.
Jericho never been a body guy. Yeah, but Jericho was a body guy when he was in WWE.
Well, he early wasn't a body Jericho. Guy. He was young, so he was still in shape. Yeah. There's a difference.
I don't know. He just didn't catch up with it.
Best
in the world, Jericho didn't have abs.
Jericho looks worse now than Flair did with his last match with Shawn Michaels.
I like how I had to preface with Shawn Michaels.
I did because he had about 12 other matches after that match.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a heart attack in the one, so I mean, like, again.
Well, yeah, and he had a few in TNA after the Shawn Michaels retirement because he needed
this motherfucker had a lethal lockdown match. Like, what are you doing?
Have a lockdown match against.
Because he bleeds if he gets blown on. So, like, it's easy. It's easy color, buddy. Come on.
If I fucking remember correctly, he tapped out to the fucking crossface against Rude.
They had the nerve to run Foley versus Flair when Foley was the world champion. Yes. Those of you listening, this is a real thing.
It is.
Foley beat Sting for the title by escaping the cage.
And dropping last second. I remember that was like the first TNA pay-per-view Andrew and I watched.
I know who John Cena's last match is going to be against. You guys, I know who John Cena's last match is going to be against.
I have to announce
Mick
you.
Foley? No.
That I will never retire!
Oh, he needs to stop. I was watching fucking Shiloh's YouTube where he goes around to different fucking food places in Tampa, and I think Rick was in like episode 2 because he just happened to be at the fucking place that Shiloh went to eat.
Oh,
and he
Rick is
looks a, like shit.
Rick is a or he Rick is in bad shape. The last
he looks like death.
But like,
hey, whoa! He outlasted Hulk Hogan.
I'll give him that one. That's fair.
Yeah, well, Rick never did steroids or cocaine.
He did everything else.
He did every other drug.
He did cocaine.
Come on.
Rick just drank.
Rick was never a drug taker.
No, Rick didn't smoke. He didn't do drugs. He just drank and tried to have a lot of sex. That's it.
That's why he was able to do that and then wake up and go 60 minutes every night.
Because
he wasn't
because
a drunk.
He already went 60 minutes the night before. Yeah, I get it.
Sweated all out.
He had stamina like a motherfucker.
Ready to go. Like, that guy fucking was in a plane crash and broke his back.
Yeah, that's why he didn't go with
then
the
he lost
fucking
150 pounds.
Yeah, he was trying to be a bigger
dude. He didn't
go
with the shitty gimmick of rambling Ricky Rhodes.
Yeah, he wanted to be Dusty Rhodes' fucking cousin back in the day. Then couldn't. Rambling Ricky Rhodes. God, could you imagine Dusty and Rick?
Rambling Ricky, whoa.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Those promos would either be awful or amazing. There is no in between.
They would have been yes.
Now look here, Daddy.
The Marquee says Rambling Ricky in the American Dream, not a midget beating off in a trash can.
That officially lets me know we're probably done for this week here.
We found the midget in the trash can. Time to close up. All right.
There's the red light.
Hornswoggle, go home.
The funny thing is the midget's name was Needle.
Well... Then where was the? Oh shit! Did they get Haystacks Calhoun?
Yeah, you are the winner of the show, Andrew. You got it. Why don't you let everybody know where everybody can find you, Andrew Belez?
The Twitter place with the words and the stuff. I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah.
And then chairshot.com. You know, TNA adjacent things. Sometimes I'm bitching about it. Most of the time I'm bitching about it, but I'll cover it because I've kind of watched that fucking thing for the last 20 years through hell or high water, and we're definitely in an interesting place now. It's not miserable, but it's not great.
Andrew can be followed at IWC War Chief AJ.
You can follow me at Phenomenal AJB, AJB in all caps. Thankfully, I'm not covering TNA because I agree it has been drizzling shits. But at least it's not fucking Kenny Omega being the Impact World Champion. But yeah, you could follow me, Phenomenal AJB, and we're not just podcast galore, we're articles galore, sports, entertainment, you name it, we got it on thechairshot.com.
AJ, I know it took you a while to come around to Hendry. Did you like Ren Sinclair in her little Hendry outfit?
Did motherfucking Hendry come out of a goddamn refrigerator? Did I see that?
Yes, he did.
He did that in TNA too for one of his initial vignettes. Where
you anytime they're
places.
Like, well, you can't say his name, he'll appear, and he just shows up.
Just that's random. What got him but over.
I thought Ren was adorable. Thing.
Oh, I thought you meant the.
If you've ever seen Ren before, Ren is adorable.
I mean, her personality with it was adorable. Yeah, she's an attractive girl. But, like, the fact that she played into it all hyped up.
Show me your
groupie,
hands, Ray. Show me your hands.
Even with the outfit. Like, And then, hey, Ray, you didn't bring it up. Chikara Jackson debuted in TNA. With
shout out. Yes, Mari Sade. Good for her. Yeah. I like Shade. That. Good
just
for
like
her.
The singer. And at least Mara's closer to her real name than, well, Jakara was close too.
Well, Jakara.
They changed the M to a K, and now they just dropped the J.
Legitimate potential star potential. She has legit star potential.
Oh, yeah.
She can figure it out in the ring. She'll be good. Yeah.
Add it's Ray Cash. What's going on over there?
Hashtag send Jerry Jones send Micah to Baltimore.
Bro.
No. God damn it. No. Micah to Tampa.
Bro. Green Bay.
He wants to go to Baltimore.
He doesn't know it. He wants to go to Green Bay.
No. Oh, it's, by the way, while I'm talking to people, Steve Kerr, hashtag Steve Kerr, send Jonathan Kuminga to Phoenix.
God, motherfucker, stop
You've
it.
You've only got, like, Booker at the moment, don't you? You got, like, Booker and 75 paperclips? Like,
by the way, Phoenix has a much better roster.
That's not a no.
Phoenix has a much better roster than you think. They just have no cohesion yet. But Kuminga's a four. Kuminga would fit in perfectly what we're trying to do.
I will say this. On the next episode of Pod is War, more sports, for sure. Getting into the NFL. But until then, follow me at PC Tutty. Follow us at Pod is War, Chairshot Radio Network, all your favorite streaming platforms. We'll see you next time.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. Was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.